Perhaps with the holiday season having just passed us, you will be familiar with the lyrics to this particular song. So maybe you know what it says after this phrase, where there's a song that says, "Said the night wind to the little lamb." You know what it says right after that? "Do you see what I see?" This morning, I want us to go back to the cross of Jesus. And as we go back this morning and we stand at the cross of Jesus, I can almost wonder and almost hear Jesus saying from the cross, "Do you see what I see?" Jesus went to the cross. What did Jesus see? Why did he go there? What was happening that caused Jesus to go to that cross? Why did Jesus sacrifice himself for us on that cross? Do we see today what Jesus saw back then? I want us this morning to look at what vision we need to have. The emphasis this month is, "At his cross, I find vision." But the vision we need to have is the vision that Jesus had that sent him to the cross, and the vision that Jesus had that kept him on that cross. What is it that Jesus saw that impacted and had a result for all of mankind? And this morning, the title of today's lesson has the word "all" in all caps, because the verses we are going to look at in our lesson this morning, every single one of them, I think, every single one of them has the word "all" or the word "every" or the word "whoever." Every single verse we're going to look at this morning is going to have the word "all," the word "every," or the word "whoever." What does that mean? That means that when Jesus went to the cross, his vision was for all of mankind. And if you and I could go back to the cross and see what Jesus saw, we'd be better for it. Because when we go back to the cross, the first thing we're going to see this morning is that there is a vision at the cross of agonizing condemnation. What did Jesus see? When Jesus went to the cross, Jesus saw that all the world is lost. Not some of it. Not a large portion of it. Jesus saw that all souls are lost. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible tells us that all have gone after sin, that all have strayed away, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even James says it over in James chapter 3, that we all, every one of us, we stumble in many ways, in many things. What did Jesus see when he went to the cross? He saw that all souls are lost. Jesus went to the cross and he saw that all people are dying. Put that together. All souls are lost, but at the same time, all people are dying. This is not a good combination. Everybody who is lost is also dying. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, it describes us, our lives, our bodies as grass. All flesh is as grass. In the glory of man, oh, it doesn't even last that long. It's like the flower of the grass and it fades away. Our lives are not designed to be here forever. Jesus went to the cross. He sees all people are lost. He sees all people are dying. And he sees all people are going to be judged. Think about that combination. Think about the fact that Jesus sees everybody is lost in the eyes of God. Well, is there any hope for them? Well, not much hope, because all of them are dying. Well, is there any hope for them after that? No, because all of them are going to be judged. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32, it says, "All nations will be gathered before him." Not just a few, that's saying all people are going to be gathered there before him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says that we must all, think about that word "must." It's not optional. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not optional. In a companion passage down in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, it doesn't use the word "all" or the word "must." It uses the word "shall." It's definite. We shall all, not just appear, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he sees a vision of agonizing condemnation where all people are lost, all people are dying, and all people one day, every one of them is going to bow their knee before Jesus. Every one of them is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord when they're there at the day of judgment. Jesus said in the closing verses of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, down in verse 17, he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and I'm bringing my reward with me to give to everyone according to his works." Jesus goes to the cross. And Jesus sees, he looks out and has a vision of agonizing condemnation for his creation. It did not bring Jesus joy to see this, to see all people lost, to see all people dying, to see all people not prepared to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. Suppose Jesus were to ask you this question from the cross. Suppose Jesus were to look at you from the cross and to ask you, "Do you see what I see? Do you? Do we see all the world as lost? Do we see that? Do we see all the world is dying without Jesus? Do we see that? Do we see that one day all of the world is going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment? Do we see that?" You see, if we will have that same vision, the vision that Jesus had at the cross, if we will share that vision, it'll change our lives. You will not be able to go throughout a day without seeing all people are lost. You won't be able to go throughout a day without seeing all people are dying without Jesus. You won't be able to go throughout a day without seeing all people I know, my friends, are going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. My family members are going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. My co-workers, my neighbors are going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. Those folks that I know down at the store, I see them every time I go there. They're going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. And if I will have that same vision Jesus had, it will change me. It'll change how I see other people and how I see the world. But you see, that's not the only vision that Jesus had from the cross. He did not just see a vision of agonizing condemnation. That's a vision of reality. But if that's the only vision, there's no hope. But there was a vision of hope. There was another vision. There was something else that Jesus could see from the cross. And not just an agonizing condemnation, but an amazing reconciliation. Not only did Jesus see that all are lost and dying and will be judged, but by hanging on that cross, Jesus was showing us something. By hanging on that cross, Jesus was showing us that He wants all people to be saved. Do you believe that? Can you believe that? Jesus wants all people to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, God desires all men everywhere to be saved. God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's no exceptions to that. God wants all people to be saved. I wonder if I see the same thing that Jesus sees. I wonder if I want the same thing that Jesus wants. In Acts chapter 3, the Bible says that's why God sent Jesus into this world. God sent Jesus into this world because He wants every one of us to be turned from our iniquities, to be turned from our sins. You know, on the day of judgment, Romans 14 says, on the day of judgment, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. It is guaranteed that on that day, everybody will do it. But what God wants is for everybody to do it now. Before they have to do it, God wants them to want to do it. And that's why Philippians 2 uses similar words, but doesn't say they shall do it, but God wants everyone that they should bow the knee and confess with their tongue. Jesus hangs on that cross, and what does he show us? He shows us that he wants all people to be saved. He shows us that he doesn't just want everybody to be saved, he was willing to do something about it. In the Bible, we come and we read that Jesus died for all people. About 500 years ago, a little better than 500 years ago, there was an influential religious leader by the name of John Calvin who invented some doctrines that have been carried on throughout man-made religion for these last 5 or 6 centuries. And one of the things that John Calvin taught, and many of those who still follow his doctrine still hold to today, is the doctrine of limited atonement. And in essence, that doctrine is that Jesus did not die for everybody. That Jesus only died for the elect. He only died for those who would be saved. He didn't die for everybody else who wouldn't be saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches very clearly that Jesus tasted death for everyone. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, the passage that was read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, twice in those two verses says that Jesus died for all. Jesus knew that everybody would not be saved, but he made up his mind. He was going to go to that cross. And he was going to die for everyone, whether they wanted him to or not. Why? Because he wants all to be saved. And so he was willing to die for all. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, one of the things that's being sung, one of the things that's being praised about the Lamb of God in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 is that he has redeemed mankind. He has redeemed many from every tribe, it says, every people, every nation. Jesus shed his blood so that people from all over the world could be saved. That question says, do you see what I see? Jesus says, I want the whole world to be saved. Jesus said, I'm willing to do something about it. I'm willing to die in order that all might be saved. And Jesus died on that cross so that the door of salvation could be opened for all people. Jesus wants everybody to be saved, and he opened that door so that everybody could have the opportunity to walk through the door of salvation. To walk through that door to have all of their sins forgiven. You know, there's some people that we probably know that we think they don't deserve it. They don't deserve salvation. They don't deserve the death of Jesus. They don't deserve the blood of Jesus. You might think about, even in the history of the world, you might think about some of the most vile and evil people who have ever walked the face of this earth and have ever suppressed people and oppressed people and caused wars, and Jesus died for them. Jesus opened the door of salvation to them if they would choose to walk through it. The grace of our God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It doesn't say that all have accepted it. But it says that that door has been opened. And that opportunity has been made available to everyone who would like to have it. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who would obey him. It's wide open. It's not limited to select few people that only he liked, but he said, here's the door, and it's wide open for anybody to walk through. Because from that cross, what Jesus is showing us is that he sees all people alike. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter says, here's what I've learned, that God shows no partiality. But whoever it is, whoever fears God and works righteousness in any and every nation, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by Him. Jesus went to that cross to teach us something. Jesus went to that cross to show us something. And He's wondering, do you see what I see? Do you and I see a lost world that's dying without Jesus and who will be judged? Do you and I want what Jesus wants? Honestly, this morning, do we want all people to be saved? Do we want that? Or are there some people we think, well, you know, if they weren't saved, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It might be okay. Do we want Jesus to have died for all people? Is that okay with us? Do we want Jesus to have opened the door of salvation to everyone? Do we want to see everyone alike the way that Jesus did? Do we see what Jesus saw? Do we want what Jesus wanted? You see, this vision of agonizing condemnation that leads into a vision of just amazing reconciliation. All of that to this point, we could say, that's what Jesus saw. That was the vision that He had. But when I come to the cross, I need to have the same vision that Jesus had. And so His vision is awaiting my application, so that I, as a Christian, can see what Jesus sees. So that I, as a Christian, can want what Jesus wants. That's what I've got to do. That's not an option. If I'm a child of God, if I'm a follower of Christ, I need to stand at His cross and find His vision of the world being lost in sin and want what He wanted for everybody to be saved. Here's some hard realities we've got to face this morning. That as a Christian, when I do see what Jesus sees, when as a Christian I do want what Jesus wants, there is no room for haughtiness. There is no room for conceit. There's no room for me to think I'm all that. There's no room for me to think that I'm better than somebody else. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says that we're to do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind to esteem others better than ourselves. And then two verses later in verse 5, He says, let that mind be in you, because that's the mind Jesus had on the cross. When we stand at the cross, there is no room that I as an individual can think that I am better than anybody else, no matter who they are. No matter who I am, there's no room for me to think that I'm better than anybody else. When I stand at the cross of Jesus, there is no room for hate. There is not a single place for me in my heart. When I stand at the cross and see what He sees and want what He wants, there's no room for hate. I have no right to hate somebody because of who they are, because of what they have done, because who they are associated with. Paul says in Titus 3 and verse 3, that's the way we used to be, hating and being hated, but that's not what it's like for Christians. That's not who we are. That's not who we are to be. Brethren, when we stand at the cross, when we see as Jesus sees and we want as Jesus wants, there is no room for partiality. None. There is no room for me to show favoritism. In James chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, if you show partiality, you do commit sin. I have no right as a child of God. I have no room as a child of God to put people into categories. To put people into categories. You know, we are being forced in our society. It almost feels like it. We are being forced in our society to categorize people. You're in this group, and you're in this group, and you're in this group. There are the haves and the have-nots. And we're being forced to say, well, who's in what group? We're being forced to look at what's being pushed upon us is, well, we're going to look at the one percenters. And there's the one percenters. And so we're not supposed to like the one percenters. Because, well, they're just in that group. We're being forced to categorize people and to put them into groups and say, well, that's that group, and I don't want to have anything to do with that group. Oh, you're the people who voted for that presidential candidate. Oh, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're the scum of the earth if you voted for that person. We have no room at the cross of Jesus to put people into categories. We have no room at the cross of Jesus to see color of skin. We have no room at the cross. And I'm not talking about whether something is a sin or not. I'm not talking about sinful living. I'm not talking about whether we put groups that this is a sinful activity and this is not. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about individuals that we are being forced to put into certain groups because, well, they're just not like us. I want you to hear my heart when I say this, and I don't want you to take this wrong. But when you see what Jesus sees from the cross, and as a Christian, when you want what Jesus wants from the cross, there is no room for blank lives matter. I don't care what you put in that blank. As a child of God, there is no room for that. Because Jesus was hanging on that cross for who? What did Jesus scream from the cross? All lives matter. He's hanging on that cross and shedding His blood, not for the good people. He's shedding it for all of us. We have no room at the cross to ever think that somebody's life is more valuable than somebody else's. There's no room for partiality. There's no room for categories. The only category at the cross is we are all sinners. That's the category. That's the group. And when we get that in our hearts and we get that in our minds, we will see what Jesus sees. We will want what Jesus wants. Brethren, it's time for us to stand at the cross and find Jesus' vision. Because that vision is awaiting my application. It's sitting there and saying, David, are you going to adopt the vision of Jesus or not? Are you going, David, to see what Jesus sees or not? David, are you going to want what Jesus wants or not? Because if you don't, David, there's no room for you at the cross of Jesus. Until you change your heart, David. Until you change your vision, David. Until you change your sight, David. There's no room for you there. Because we've got to see the world for what Jesus saw the world to be. Lost, dying, and standing in judgment. But we've got to want for the world what Jesus wanted. And want everybody to be saved, no matter what category somebody might put them in. And so as we stand here today, as we think about our responsibility as Christians to see all people alike, when we do that, when we see all people alike, I want you to think about these all verses. We're not going to dive into all of them. I want you to think about these all verses in the Bible. The Great Commission in Luke, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Great Commission. All have the word all in them. In Luke 24, verse 47, Jesus says, go into all the nations, preaching the gospel to all nations. He said in Matthew's account, go therefore to all nations, make disciples of all nations. Mark's account, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. What am I supposed to do? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Does it matter what category they're in? Does it matter what skin color they have? Does it matter how much money they have? Are they a have or are they a have not? That's going to determine whether I go. No, it's not going to determine whether I go and preach the gospel to them. They're a part of the all. They're a part of every one of us who need the gospel. And so I'm going to warn every man, Colossians 1 and verse 28. I'm going to teach every man. I am going to learn to increase and abound in my love, not just for the people I like. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, you increase and abound in your love for all people. To elevate everyone else above ourselves. To learn to pray for all. To learn to do good unto all. I know the rest of that verse says, especially those of the household of faith. But that doesn't discount the fact that it says, do good to all people. I've got to adopt that. I've got to apply that vision. Because that's the vision that Jesus had from the cross. Is that where you are today? Brethren, it's time for us to do an inspection. It's time for us to look within our hearts. And not just some little song that comes out at holiday times that says, "Do you see what I see?" But to hear Jesus from the cross to say, "David," to say your name, "Do you see what I see? Do you see your friends who are lost and dying and will stand in judgment? Do you see that I died for your friends and I want them to be saved? I've opened the door of salvation and I don't care who they are. I want them to be saved." Brethren, it's time for us to see souls. To see people who are within our lives that we can touch, that we can reach out to, that we can talk to, that God will hold us accountable for whether we have taken the opportunity to speak to them or not. Don't allow our world to force us into their mold of putting everybody into certain categories, and I can only have something to do with these certain people. No, Jesus had something to do with everybody, didn't he? He came and he died for all. I need to have the heart of Jesus. When you think about your life, is that where you are? Are we ready to stand at His cross this morning? And at His cross this morning say, "Jesus, I want to see what you see. And I want to want what you want." You see, His cross and the sacrifice He made there, and when we stand there, it's not just awaiting my application, it is anticipating me being saved. It's anticipating my salvation. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus has called everybody. Do you know anybody who's not weary and heavy laden? You know anybody like that? You know anybody who's not tired? You know anybody who's not worn out? I'd like to meet them. I mean, they must be a fascinating person. That they haven't allowed everything else to come. Jesus basically says, "Come, all of you. I want everybody to be saved." And so when he says, "Come to all," I want you to think about these verses where the Bible says, "Whoever believes in him," who? All people, everybody. "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says, "You are all sons or children of God by faith." We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5, "Whoever believes Jesus is the Son of God, he's born of God." Do you believe this morning, with all of your heart, that Jesus is the Son of God? You can be one of those whoever's who has salvation this morning. The Bible says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." What does that mean? How does somebody call on the name of the Lord? Well, you keep reading in your Bible, and you come across other passages that say, "Except you repent, you will all likewise perish." God now commands all men everywhere to repent. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you fascinated by how often we read the word "all" or "every" or "whoever" throughout the New Testament? It says, this is open to everybody. Salvation is available to all if we will repent, if we will confess. "Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven." Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the Son of God, then God abides in him and he in God. And then Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, Peter says, when he's asked on the day of Pentecost. By the way, in Acts chapter 2, Peter had preached in chapter 2 and verse 21, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then in verse 37, they ask him, "What are we supposed to do? What shall we do?" And Peter told them, in order to define calling on the name of the Lord, he said, "Repent," in verse 38, "and let every one of you," underscore every one of you, all of you, "be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." God has opened that door for everyone. And when Ananias came to Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16, he says, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord through repentance and baptism shall be saved. And what does God expect of us after that? God expects of us as Christians to be those in 1 John chapter 2 are whoever practice righteousness. Those are the ones who are born of Him. Because we need to be those who obey Him. We've looked at dozens of verses this morning. I don't know how many. That the Bible uses the word all, the word every, the word whoever. To talk about who God wants to be saved. Jesus came and died for the whole world. But let's make it personal. Jesus came and died for you. He came and died so that you could be saved by following His plan of salvation. Have you ever been baptized for the purpose of having all of your sins washed away? If you've never done that, today is the day of salvation. There's a baptistry here with heated water, garments in the back. We have towels. We're ready to baptize you this day if you're ready to give your life to Jesus. If maybe you've already done that. Maybe as a child of God, you have not been practicing righteousness. Perhaps you've strayed, you've wandered away from the path that God would have you to walk. Maybe your vision has not been the vision that Jesus would have us to have. If this church can help you to walk out of here this morning knowing that you are saved and in a right relationship with Jesus, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.